Our text today is going to be Matthew 15, 1 through 20. We are nearing kind of the end. It's been long, but it's been good, and we're really getting into a lot of good meat. There's a lot of good meat here, and this passage is no different. And, you know, there's always a theme. There's always something the Lord is trying to say. Yeshua is going around and teaching, and it's amazing how the things that they're talking about 2,000 years ago, while it may not be the exact same things, you know, they talked about donkeys and different things, and we're talking about automobiles and social media, but the concepts are the same. And really, it's amazing how we can just directly apply everything we're reading to our lives today in 2022. Just like back then, as it is today, we can sometimes, if we're not careful, get lost in the details. Has anybody ever gotten lost in the details before? We're living our lives trying to do the right thing. You know, we're all trying to do the right thing, I'm sure. Focusing on what we have to do, focusing on how we have to do it. And we can get so wrapped up in all of that, that we can kind of forget the big picture. And I think this is what Yeshua is saying today. We can lose focus on the big picture when we get immersed too much in the details. In today's text, Yeshua brings us back around to the focal point, what it's all about. And, you know, the thing is, we have a lot of traditions. Certainly, we have a lot of traditions in Judaism. I mean, you can see it on display every Shabbat with the things that we wear, the things that we do, the prayers that we chant. There's a lot of traditions, and there's a lot of things we do. Within Judaism, there's also a lot of traditions and things we do in the body of Messiah across the board. And most of them are good. Some of them maybe not so good, but we have to remember with the good and the not so good, we have to remember to keep our priorities in line because we can lose focus very easily. The focus should always be that Adonai, God, the Lord God, should come first, right? We don't want to put him second. We don't want to put him third. He must always be the priority in our lives. Even the things that you're doing for God, the work that you're doing for God, if we're not careful, can become a priority over God himself. We have to be very careful about that. So when you're doing things for him, when you're serving, when you're doing all these wonderful things, you know, getting up and talking about him like I'm doing now, being a musician, working in the kitchen, whatever it is, we have to be careful that sometimes those things can take our focus off of God if we're not careful about it. We must also... Another thing that gets our focus off of God is when we worry too much about other people. I know nobody here has done that, right? Nobody here has done that. We worry too much about all the other stuff going on in the world. And this is especially true, I think, today, because today you and I have access to the world at our fingertips. I never realized, you know, 30 years ago what was going on in Ukraine, for, you know, example. But now, today, it's everywhere if we just turn on the phone, you know, and the phone is always on. I don't know when the last time was I turned off my phone. Does anybody know when the last time was? Do people actually turn off their phones anymore? You know, it just goes on silent. Okay, some people do. Good for you. Well, I need to do that more because, you know, you can't turn it off because it's always there. The news is always there. The reel is always there. It's like somebody said the other day, you can't get to the end of the internet. It just keeps going and going and growing. You keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. We must not worry about all those other things. We can't worry about others. We can't worry about those that would oppose what we're doing. You know, there's a whole world out there that doesn't believe like we do. There's a whole world out there that doesn't like us. There's a whole world, and I don't mean to make it an us versus them, but there is a whole world out there that doesn't ascribe to the values and beliefs and even traditions that we hold dear. And if we're not careful, we can lose focus by opposing all of that or looking at that and getting wrapped up in all that, and it takes our focus off the Lord. And lastly, we must keep our heart right before the Lord because God wants a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. If we're not careful with all the things that are going on, we can easily get a stony heart, and we have to guard against that. So Yeshua is talking about all these things today. We're going to go through the scriptures and be reminded of this. Let's start with the beginning of the text. If you turn to Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, continues to talk. Remember in 14, what was going on was all these miracles. We talked about several miracles towards the end of chapter 14. The miracle of the feeding of the 10,000 plus, called the feeding of the 5,000. The miracle when he's walking on the water. You remember that? Well, then we get to chapter 15, and we begin like this. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Yeshua from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." So at first it says, we have to look very carefully at the wording. It says Pharisees and scribes. Pharisees and scribes. It does not say all the Pharisees and scribes. So we have to be very careful, because you could take scriptures like this and you could take it out of context and you could say, oh, all of the Jewish people were against him. All of the Jewish leadership. That was not the case. People like Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, was not against him. There was other people. So they were not all antagonistic, but Pharisees and scribes came, meaning some of the Pharisees and scribes came. We have to remember, and if we look at what was going on 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, in Israel, there was not a homogeneous religion called Judaism, kind of like today. There's not a homogeneous religion called Judaism. It's very varied, including Messianic Judaism, which is where we are. But we have to remember that within 2,000 years ago, there was literally dozens of sects of Judaism. Dozens. You had, I'm just going to name a few. We've talked about it before. The Essenes were a sect. We've heard of the Essenes. Sadducees were a sect. Pharisees, Zealots, and it goes on. Over two dozen different groups of Judaism back then. Now, even within those groups, there were what we could call subsets. Subsets of Sadducees, subsets of Zealots, and they had different priorities that they were placing, and subsets of Pharisees and scribes, which is what this subset group was talking about. Each of the subsets of Judaism, so you could talk about two dozen, and then within the two dozen, there were splinters off of the two dozen. So that's like probably hundreds of groups. Within each group or subset, they all emphasize different aspects of life. Different practices that you should do above other things. They would emphasize give weight to different things. Now, how do we try to understand that? Well, today we have over 2,000, I think it's 2,000 denominations in Christianity, right? So within each of the denominations in Christianity, they emphasize different things. If you've noticed, they're not all uniform. Some put a priority on things like speaking in tongues, right? You know those, the charismatics. Some put a priority on preaching the word faithfully. I'm thinking Baptists and some others, right? Some emphasize what not to do even more than they emphasize what to do, right? Some are defined by what they don't do or what they say we will not do. For example, no dancing, no alcohol, no contemporary music, right? No hymns, only contemporary music. So you get the picture. There's all these different priorities that these different groups place upon things. This group of Pharisees and Sadducees was upset that Yeshua's Talmidim, his disciples, were not washing their hands before eating. That was their big thing that they were like hanging everything on for whatever reason. Not washing their hands before eating. Now, could it be that they observed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000? And it was a miraculous miracle, right? And I'm pretty sure that there was no washing of the hands before 10,000 plus people ate, right? They were eating the bread and the fish. It was a miraculous multiplication. And they didn't first wash their hands. So very likely they could have been, because this comes right after that. So very likely they could have been opposing it. Sometimes our priorities seem so right to us, like washing of the hands, that you can lose the big picture. Because when we look at it 2,000 years later, it looks a little bit ridiculous, right? He's feeding 10,000 people miraculously, and you're getting upset because they didn't wash their hands first? I mean, you could have picked other things to get upset about, right? The rabbis over the centuries have developed extra-biblical ordinances, right? And there's volumes and volumes of them. And again, I go back to the beginning. They're not all bad. I'm just making the point here, and Yeshua is making the point that when we emphasize things over other things, we can get into trouble. We can lose the focus of God One of the extra-biblical ordinances the rabbis have talked about over the years is washing of the hands, okay? It was not a requirement in the Torah for the common people to wash their hands before they ate. The priest was a whole different story. The priest had to be very clean. They had to wash themselves. They had to be holy, even more holy than the common people. But we're talking about the common people here. That's what the Pharisees and scribes had a problem with. It got so elaborate, the extra-biblical practices of washing before hands, that there is an entire tractate of the Talmud devoted to washing hands. Now, what is a tractate? Tractate is like a book. There's about 70 or so books that contain the entire Talmud. So it's essentially the equivalent of a full book about this thick of commentary about how you're supposed to wash your hands and how you're supposed to do it. Now, the Talmud wasn't written down until 200 AD at the beginning of the writing down. But there was discussions that led to the writing down of the Talmud centuries before that, including during the time of Yeshua. We know that a lot of the stuff that Yeshua is debating them about throughout the Gospels were things that were trying, they were bouncing around the rabbis' minds and heads, eventually got codified in the Talmud. So these discussions were going on, washing of hands and other things. The debate was happening. Okay, so this was not a static thing. Nothing was written down, but they were discussing these things. So how does Yeshua respond to them? Turn to Matthew 15:3. Typical response, typical Jewish response. He asks a question in response. Matthew 15:3. He answered them, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles his father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, 'What you would have gained from me is given to God,' he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God." So rather than get into the details and get into the mire of it all about the initial question, which is the washing of the hands, Yeshua is using this as a teachable moment to redirect, refocus. It's like the expression says, you can't see the forest for the trees, right? So many of us are looking at trees in front of them. I mean, there's trees all over, right? You can just, you know, if you're ADD or whatever, you can get involved in all the trees and forget that there's a forest that houses all of the trees. Because the forest is the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother in this case. It's a biblical commandment. But the trees are, well, let's do this over here. Let's prioritize this. Let's wash our hands. Again, it's not that it's bad, but it's elevating it above. Yeshua has some pretty harsh words for them on this, to the point where he says, he quotes from Isaiah. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Isaiah 29, 13, he quotes the first part of this, these two verses I'm going to read. "And the Lord said, 'Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden.'" This is what Isaiah was talking about 700 years before Yeshua comes around, and there's this debate going on. The discernment was gone because they were focused on all the wrong trees, instead of the forest. The discernment was gone, the perspective was gone, the priorities were out of whack, and they were missing the whole point of what he was trying to say. He's not saying, again, traditions are bad. He's saying, don't put those traditions over God's commandments. Have a priority system. Don't put those traditions over God's will and over God's word. That's point number one today in the message. We must put God over anything else. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be your wife or husband. It could be your kids. It's so easy to do that. We have to be careful. We must put God over anything else. But again, that doesn't mean that you discard all the other stuff and just say, I'm just going to worship God all day long. You guys can go find something in the fridge to eat, you know, whatever. I'm not going to parent you. That's not what it means. It means there's a priority system. We must put God over anything else. There are many godly things, and these things are not necessarily bad, but when they supersede the word of God, they can be bad. Now let's continue on. Matthew 15, let's go to verse 12. Now, he says all this, pretty harsh. He talks very directly. See, this is the other thing I thought about when I was reading this. In today's society, we always talk so nice to everybody, even when we oppose them, right? There's this, political correctness. Thank you. It's turned into other stuff now, but it used to be called political correctness. Yeshua is not politically correct. And the people back then wouldn't have expected him to be politically correct. So we could read the words and say, oh my gosh, that's so harsh. How could it be so mean and cruel? That's how people talked. That's how they talked back then. They were direct. They didn't have time. It was also a Semitic mindset versus a Western mindset. We have a Western mindset. We're all polite all the time. They were just going around and talking straight. They would probably say to us, why are you so fake all the time? Why don't you just talk straight? Anyway, you can imagine, though, that when he says these things, even in a normal, direct fashion, that they didn't exactly like it, right? The Pharisees and scribes, their reaction wasn't so good. Matthew 15:12. Then the disciples came and said to Yeshua, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying, which is what he said? Verse 13, he answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. So again, pretty harsh words, but pretty true. The commandments of God, when they're superseded by the traditions of men, we can get into all kind of weird stuff. And again, we can look at this today with all of the denominations out there. You can see how some denominations over time have just totally shifted away from God and his word because of the traditions of men. The world gets involved, gets influencing that particular denomination. And I'm not taking any denomination to task over another. I'm just saying it's very easy to go astray from God. And Yeshua is talking about this. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, because we have to be careful to see exactly what Yeshua is saying. He's talking about every plant in the Matthew 15:12 passage. In verse 13, he says, every plant that's not planted by God will be rooted out, will be rooted up. Okay? And we can think about, when we hear this, Yeshua is always referencing directly or indirectly other scripture in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament. He's always pointing back to God the Father's words. And in this case, Isaiah 61:3. Now, before I read verse 3, the context of Isaiah 61 is it's messianic. It talks about the one who is to come, where the Spirit of the Lord is on that one and what he is going to do for the people. That's, of course, a messianic prophecy. And it's talking about Yeshua, ultimately. And Isaiah 61:3 says this, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. This is what Messiah is going to do. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. When we're planted by the Lord, it's not so, look at us, we're planted by the Lord, look how great and holy we are and godly we are. It's, we're planted by the Lord, let's give him glory, because that's what the scripture says. When we're planted and rooted correctly in God, God is glorified, not us. God is glorified. And Yeshua is referring back to this and saying, we need to be rooted and planted in the Lord. Some have shallow root systems. Have you ever met a believer with a shallow root system? Okay, some have a veneer of spirituality. They say some nice things, but they're actions are far different than what their mouth is saying, right? And some people, they try to fake it as best as they can. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament talks a lot about this, and Rab Shaul, the Apostle Paul, in his letters, speaks a lot about this. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, verse 3, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. That's the key verse there. An appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And he says, avoid such people. Very similar to what Yeshua says in Matthew 15, verse 14, when he says, have nothing to do with them. You know, the Pharisees that were opposing Yeshua, have nothing to do with them. Don't get sucked into the arguments. Don't go down the rabbit trail with them. Don't let your focus get taken off of the Lord. He is the priority. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. You know, we want to go out. We want to convert everybody to our way of thinking. I wish everybody thought this way, right? But they don't. And if we're not careful, we can get into a lot of debates. And we're not going to sometimes it's good to debate. There is a time for debate. But a lot of the time, they have this appearance of godliness. They don't really want to have it. The godliness and talking is really futile with them. Proverbs 9, verse 8. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Okay? Straight from Proverbs. Good advice. Not only that, but don't worry about what they're saying, what they're doing. Don't let your priority shift off of the Lord and onto proving them right, or onto getting upset because they oppose the things of the Lord that you're doing. Our priority can easily shift to become to defending ourselves. You know, you get into that defensive posture and then your whole countenance changes. Just proving their arguments. Most of the time, it's a waste of the time. Point number two, don't worry about the opposition. Yeshua said it. Shaul said it. Let's worry about following the Lord. If you feel you're doing the right thing before God, if you feel like you're doing the right thing and other people are opposing you for whatever reason, even if they mean good things by it, even if they have, you know, you ever had somebody come to you, a family member or a friend, and saying, well, I think you're getting a little too radical for the Lord, or, you know, whatever it is, you could fill in the blanks. You know, you've been there. They mean well, but they don't really have the mind of God in that situation. So if you're following the Lord and you're doing the right thing and you know you're doing the right thing and it's been confirmed, stand on that and don't listen to the opposition. Don't focus and worry about it. It's just going to sap up your energy. Back to Matthew 15, verse 15 through 20, the last part of the text today. But Peter, of course, Peter always pops up and says something, right? You can always count on Peter. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But whatever comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. We could get so worried about doing the things like washing hands. Again, it's not bad in of itself, but it can take our focus off of the weightier things. And Yeshua is bringing us down to the weightier things. This is a brilliant response that he gives. He doesn't get sucked into the endless debates with those Pharisees and scribes. He doesn't let them throw him off. He's got a mission. And the mission at this point in his ministry is to point people back to God in repentance. Now, of course, his ultimate mission is to die for our sins. We know that. But right there and then, his mission is to point people to God, to get people to see. And the heart is the thing that matters. Turn to Ezekiel 36, verse 26. God gave us the Torah as a way to live holy as he is holy. Of course, as a Jewish people, we didn't do so great with that. A lot of not following the Torah. Got expelled out of the land because of sin. Sin crept in. God sends prophets. All the prophets are sent to point us back to God, to point us back to what the Torah says. We didn't so much listen to the prophets. So there's all this stuff going on. And one of the prophets, Ezekiel, in chapter 36, verse 26, says this. And this is talking about God. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That heart of stone is the one that stands there with arms crossed, not wanting to hear it, liking the sin that we're in, and liking doing our own thing. This is a constant problem in the Bible and certainly a constant problem for humanity. The issue is the heart. The heart is the thing that cuts through everything else. I'll give you an example of two men in the Bible The differentiator is not if you do good things or you do bad things. In the Bible, the differentiator is the condition of your heart. The example is from Saul and David. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. This is a big chapter. In this chapter, God is dealing with King Saul, the first king of Israel, and Saul's heart is not going towards the Lord. And I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but you can read the context of the chapter. And what happens is Saul doesn't obey God because his heart is not right. And the prophet Samuel comes, and these are the words of God through the prophet Samuel. 1 Samuel 13, 14. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you, Saul, have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Saul, in this chapter, followed his own way instead of God. He had the wrong heart before God, and because of that, he chose to prioritize wrong things. He gave a sacrifice when he shouldn't have given a sacrifice. It's not that he did a bad thing by giving a sacrifice in and of itself. It's that God had not commanded him to give a sacrifice then. His heart wasn't right, so he did wrong things. When your heart isn't right before the Lord, you're not going to follow God correctly. When your heart is right before the Lord, even if you're not perfect, and we're not perfect, your heart will be right, and God will still use you even in your imperfection and brokenness. Now, Saul is rejected because of the heart condition. Let's look at now David. 1 Samuel 16:7. What happens is Saul's rejected. Samuel gets up, goes outside to this town outside of Jerusalem, a little town called Bethlehem, to a guy named Jesse. Jesse's got a bunch of sons. Jesse lines up his sons, and Samuel looks at them, and he's, wow, look at these strong men of Israel. Right? They were in the Israeli army. They were really strong. And this is God's word to Samuel in 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The differentiator is the heart, not the things you do or the things you don't do. But as Yeshua is saying, those are all flowing from the heart condition. We know ultimately God was looking for someone to be king after his own heart, and he found it in King David. Now, the difference between the two men, they were both terrible sinners. David was a terrible sinner. Saul was a terrible sinner. What's the difference? Their heart condition. Point number three, keep your heart right before the Lord. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The world is out there trying to take our heart away from the Lord, to put your heart on this, to put your heart on that. Some of it's nice stuff. Some of it's really not good stuff that we should get into. It's all the world stuff out there. We've got to keep our heart right before the Lord, because if we get our hearts off, that is the differentiator. Bitterness, anger, hatred, jealousy, those are all not good things, right? They're feelings, they're emotions, but they don't just happen with ungodly people. It's not that you and I say, oh, we're a follower of Yeshua now. We're not going to have that in our life. We're going to be perfect now. Well, we can still fall into bitterness, anger, hatred, jealousy if we are not careful, even as people of God. Keep our hearts right before the Lord, and we won't fall into those traps of the enemy. How do we keep our hearts right? Prioritizing God, certainly. Reading the Word. You know, back then it was, you read the newspaper more than you read God. Obviously, not a lot of people read newspapers anymore. Are you scrolling the internet more than you're scrolling the book, right? Reading our Bibles, praying to God, having a quiet time before the Lord. Coming to service today. We're here connecting with other believers. We're here connecting with God. We're taking the time to prioritize God. We're taking the time to adjust our heart condition. We're taking the time to focus on Him today. That is how we prioritize Him in our lives. It's a deliberate thing. It doesn't just come automatically. If we're not careful, and I'm the same way, we can go through the week and we haven't read our Bible once, right? Have you ever had that? Don't raise your hand. Nobody's judging you here. It happens. We've got to constantly be bringing ourselves back, refocusing on the Lord, because our minds can go on all other, and our hearts can go on all different things rather than be focused on the Lord. So as we study His Word today, let's just remember to prioritize Him in our life. Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, we thank You because we forget sometimes. Lord, we drift, we shift, we lose focus, and it comes so quickly, Lord, even while we're not even looking, it happens. But Lord, help us to prioritize You in our life. Help us to not focus so much on all the shiny objects in the world because they can take our focus off so easily. Keep our focus on You, Lord God, today and every day this coming week. Lord, help us also to have a good heart, a right heart before You, a heart that seeks after You and not our own ways, a heart that yields to Your will and not our own will, a heart that chooses You over our feelings, our emotions. They can deceive us, Lord, but You'll never leave us or forsake us or deceive us. So God, we thank You for this opportunity today to refocus for You. May people that have maybe been unfocused for a while, Lord God, maybe they, through these words, can be refocused on You, and help us as a congregation to focus on You. Help us as families to focus on You. Help us as individuals in our own lives to focus on You. We thank You, God. We praise You for this time with You today. In Yeshua's name, amen.